Once Upon a Time in Aotearoa, the first thing that drew me to it was the fantastic cover.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful piece of artwork.
Yes, my friend Kelly Joseph, who did the MA in the same, the MA at Victoria in the same year as me, did the cover for me. So she's both a writer and an artist. So I was really lucky to know her and actually, I guess we worked on the concept together, and then she did a wonderful job of the cover.
On the back is David Geary, this great phrase, a crafty combo of mystery and history. The man, and he's kind of on the money, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, it's even funnier because David was my MA supervisor, and both David and Kelly and I live on the Kapiti Coast. So, well, David's moved to Canada now, but yeah, it's almost like we had a fortunate kind of convergence of a few people that kind of managed to bounce ideas off of each other. And
it's all ended up in this wonderful collection of short fiction. The first story was it took me by surprise and was fantastic. And it's about Tane creating Hine. It must have been quite brave for you to do that story, because you give it quite an unusual treatment.
Yes.
And I'd wondered if there'd been any kind of, anybody had said anything, oh, you can't do that? Or,
well, I said you can't do that quite a lot. And again, it was my friend Kelly. I ran it past her a couple of times, not the story itself, but the concept, and said, oh, I've got this idea, but I can't do it. And she was like, yeah, yeah, just do it. And then I put it into the Huia Short Story Awards. And I actually rang her up at the last minute and said, this is the only story that's the right length, but I can't put it in because of, you know, it's got adult themes. And she was like, no, just do it, just do it. And for the very last minute, I was like, I can't do this. But people responded really well to it, and I did get the Short Story in English Award for that particular story. And I think it is because it's surprising. There's that shocking element, but that's not what it's about. So it's kind of, I like to come in from a different angle. And I mean, in the end, what it's about is a human emotion and human kind of loneliness and things like that. But the myth and the modern way it's told and stuff is just kind of a fun way to get at kind of more serious things, and also like gender questions as well. So yeah.
Well, and it strikes me that that is key to a lot of your writing in the book. There's a lot of quite serious topics that are dealt with in a really quite a tender way. You know, you take a particular character's point of view. I'm thinking of there's an old woman who finds a toddler in a playground, and she ends up taking him home.
Yeah.
And she kind of knows she shouldn't,
yeah,
but she wants to look after the toddler and things like that. And
mm,
where people are at kind of momentous points in their lives, and there's lots going on, but it's told through quite a human way.
Sometimes people get confused, because some of the stories are really obviously mythological, and that's in the cover, and that's in the way it's been written, the book's been blurbed and written about. And then sometimes it's not so obvious, and my thinking was that those very ordinary stories where you say there's a momentous choice that has to be made, that's a mythological choice in any ordinary life. I think I wanted to elevate those ordinary choices to the same level as the myths. And I think, I mean, myths work as archetypes, like they're all kind of from human lives, obviously. Humans created them, but at the same time, I think we can look at our own lives and kind of honour them in that way, by looking at them as important as those mythological stories.
Another story that did it really well, that I really enjoyed, was the one about Pania of the Reef. It's something you do in each story. You get the point of view quite right. This one you write from the point of view of a statue. She's trapped in this statue. But it really works, because somehow she comes to life, and, you know, through the people who come to visit her. Is it something that you set out to do, to sort of consciously use the mythology and sort of give it a modern treatment, or is it just natural to you?
I guess because I was working through an MA at the time that I started this, I just wanted to be open to what came. And like as you were saying, there was a whole lot of writers. We get to work with a lot of other writers and bouncing ideas, and one writer was talking about mythology, and mythology had been a huge thing in my late teens, early 20s, and I remembered, I for some reason not really paid it much attention, and I remembered how significant that had been to me. And so I also wanted to look at it in a contemporary way, and then it became quite a natural thing. I didn't think about it too much. I think Pania would be a few of the stories came quite naturally, but the Pania one was one I looked for, and so it took a bit more work to find out what is her voice, and to make that particular story work, it went through a couple of versions.
And also, you have quite an economic style. A lot of it's done through dialogue. There's not a lot of description of the characters. It might be one feature of the character, like their nose that you talk about or something like that. Do you prefer that, or do you think you'd like to do a longer form piece as well?
I'm working on a novel at the moment. But my love is short stories, because I think what you're talking about is that I had a rich imaginary understanding of those characters, but I didn't want to dictate my imagined person to the reader. So there were only certain things, like you say, certain aspects of the character that I wanted to portray, and then hopefully from that it's more like their character rather than all of their features. So I want the reader to engage, and I feel like with short stories there's more freedom to go anywhere and to engage, kind of let the reader engage and take the story where they want to go. It just seems to be, for me personally, it seems to be allow itself to be more open to that, whereas the novel I'm working on, again, a novel is a wonderful, great thing, but it just requires a whole kind of different set of skills, and the reader gets a whole different thing from it, I'm finding it personally something that I need to be much more structured about and know what I'm doing with it much more, whereas a short story I was quite happy to just play. Yeah,
they are playful, and I mean, a novel you have to build kind of a whole world and histories of people, whereas
that's right.
The shorter fiction is much more compressed, I suppose. The point of view that I was mentioning before, there's such a range. There's young, there's old, there's the dead, there's the unstable. There's even an alien in there, you know, a sort of a lizardy alien guy. And did you kind of set out to stretch your own capability? Did you start writing these things and then think, oh, how much further can I go? Because that was kind of out there.
Yeah, I did very purposefully think about diversity, because diversity is something that's really important to me, and I did want to see who I could be, where I could go, and there were unsuccessful stories that you don't get to see, where I think one of them, I was trying to portray young men at university and I couldn't do it. I just could not inhabit how young men interacted, and I took it to a workshop a couple of times and people would be like, nah, it's just not. But apparently I could do old people and young people and aliens, well, hopefully successfully. But I for me personally, diversity is important, and I like to read stuff that is diverse. I had read a few collections, and it's a really valid way to go about a short story collection, to have kind of a similar point of view throughout stories. But I thought, gee, you know, what am I going to do? You kind of sit there with this opportunity and think, what can I do with it? And you're right, you just kind of, I just went, oh yeah, I'm going to try everything I can. So, yeah.
One of the questions we ask everybody we interview is about trying everything they can by virtue of libraries. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to just have maybe a few words from you about the role libraries have played in your life, or what you think libraries can do for people. That
it's
kind
a
of
wonderful
thing.
Question. Now I'm getting all emotional. because I just come to the realisation recently that one thing my father always did for me was he took me to museums and he took me to libraries. So that was a kind of continual thing in my childhood. And sometimes you don't notice those things until, you know, much later, and you go, oh yeah, that's why I am the way I am about maybe literature or whatever. Libraries, and we moved around a lot, so libraries everywhere were a constant, and a constant in my children's lives. And the other thing was that quite a lot of this book was written in the Palmerston North City Library. So also, yay for good architecture, because that's a lovely library to sit in, I think the Wellington one, and I haven't been to Christchurch yet, but I will, the Christchurch Library yet, but I will. Definitely a very strong vein, a very strong thread, and something worth preserving and making sure that everybody can have access to and do that. I think it just makes a huge difference if that is something that is normal in your life.
How are you feeling about coming to the Big Smoke and getting on stage this time?
Well, it's ridiculous. You just go, okay, and it's so strange and so out there. You just go, okay, I'm just going to go along with this. And also, I mean, obviously nerve-wracking, but, I mean, look at the restaurant we're in. This is just ridiculous. Like, the absolute... what is the word?
I'm not sure. It's kind of luxurious.
The luxury of it. Someone just said to me this morning, it's like you're living a life that's not your own for a few days, which is nice. And also, the other thing we were talking about, and, you know, just personally this morning, was that books don't make a lot of money. So I guess this is one of the, the side perks of the job, is you get to have this kind of fun thing. I mean, it's also... it's not easy. You want to be articulate, you want to read well, and you want people to get their money's worth when they come to the festival. So you are working, but at the same time, this is just like not normal life, right?
Yeah. Well, look, I wish you all the best. The book is fantastic, and it's available everywhere because it's going to be very popular. I know that.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for your time today.